Welcome to The Midday. I have a very special guest in the studio today. I'm Stephanie Elkins, in for Norman Gilliland. And my guest is the only violinist to win gold medals at three very prestigious competitions, the Sibelius, the Paganini, and the Tchaikovsky, which is fitting because he's here in Wisconsin to perform the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto. And he's also had a long and illustrious performing career all over the world and has taught at Eastman and Indiana University and is now teaching at DePaul, not too far from here in Chicago. But he started his career in Russia. Welcome, Ilya Kahler.
Thank you, Stephanie. Wonderful to be here.
It's wonderful to have you. And I usually start by asking guests if they were born into a musical family. Was that the case for you?
Yes, it was the case. My father was a professional violinist. He was a violinist in one of the major Moscow orchestras and played there for almost 50 years. So he was a major influence in my childhood. And of course, I was born apparently with certain talent for music, but my father thought it was his duty to develop it somehow. He was my first teacher, and as you know, always, almost always, between parents and kids, it's a very complicated relationship as far as teaching something
right.
comes. So eventually I ended up having really good teachers later, but my father always was a guide for me and big influence on my musical tastes. It's thanks to him I like and love and appreciate many things in music today. He introduced me to opera, to symphonic music, and of course chamber music and everything else. My love of violin as an instrument came a bit later. And of course, as any child, I resisted practicing in my early years, which is understandable.
Here in Wisconsin, we're really lucky to have string orchestra programs in the schools. Did you have the opportunity to play with others and in orchestras when you were growing up?
In Russia, orchestral playing was not as widespread and popular as in the West and in the United States, of course. There were orchestras, but orchestras were kind of treated with a little bit of a denigrating attitude, because when you studied instrument, you were expected to become either soloist or teacher. So anything that would imply sitting down in a chair with a few other musicians and play it was something of a lower level, which I think is ridiculous, but that's the way it was. But I always loved orchestral music since my early childhood, and if I had a choice of what to listen to in recording, it would be symphonies by Mahler, Bruckner, and Brahms, and Beethoven, and so forth, and great poems of Strauss and other things, rather than just a solo instrument.
All the big stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, you're here to perform with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra this evening, and you're going to be doing the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto, which, of course, is an enormous, very complicated, very difficult piece.
Sure.
And you're doing it with a chamber orchestra. That's going to be
right.
a little bit different.
Absolutely. Well, my experience so far during our rehearsals yesterday and day before was quite extraordinary, because the attitude of musicians and collaboration with Maestro Sewell were quite extraordinary, in the sense that this is such a sensitive treatment of this music. Tchaikovsky Concerto is one of those greatly popular pieces that kind of became victims of their own fame.
Yeah.
And there's so much that was brought to this piece, which I don't think is authentic in any way. I hate using this word, which is loaded too. But Tchaikovsky Concerto kind of has been turned into this blockbuster virtuoso, big piece. To be sure, it has a lot of virtuoso elements in it, and it's really written brilliantly for violin, very difficult. But also, essentially, it's a lyrical piece. This fantastic tunes that Tchaikovsky was one of the inimitable masters of. Huh. Tchaikovsky, you know, he was half French, half Russian. His mother was French, that was naturalized Russian citizen, and he was under great influence of French culture. Also, he loved Italian opera, of course. So he was roundly criticized by the so-called Great Bunch, Russian nationalist composers headed by Rimsky-Korsakov, for writing Italian operas, French ballets, and German symphonies.
Right. He sounded too European.
Too European for them, exactly, yeah, because he felt he was married to really a very clear form of the piece. And I think this is what I'm trying, I guess, hopefully successfully, to bring out in that piece, is really very clear structure with very intense lyrical feeling inside. And a second moment, to me, there's definitely its name, its title, Canzonetta, is Italian. It speaks for itself.
The song,
absolutely. But the truth is, there's a very few, if some people would be probably mad at me, there are very few truly Russian tunes in that concerto. They're all not Italian, but I would say Italianate. Mm-hmm. And even that famous second subject in the finale, which was lambasted by great Edward Hanslick in Vienna, saying that it smells of vodka, actually is a Neapolitan tune that Tchaikovsky heard during one of his visits to Italy. And but it sounds, because of the way that this melody is arranged and the character of Danzig character with it, sounds like it could be Russian, but it's really not.
It's just a stunning movement. And since we're talking about, you've brought your violin and we're going to hear playing, but since we're talking about this beautiful, beautiful movement, why don't we hear the second movement from that right now?
Yeah, sure.
And this is Ilya Kahler playing. This is your recording with the Russian Philharmonic Orchestra. They're conducted by Dmitry Leblonsky.
That's correct.
We're going to hear the second movement.
Thank you.
And that's the end of the Canzonetta, the middle movement, that beautiful movement from Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto in D. And we heard a recording that was made by my guest, Ilya Kahler. And you were just telling a story while we were listening to that, that that recording was made in a studio that you were in as a child.
Absolutely, yeah. It's so-called Studio 5, which is a big studio in Moscow, in a radio house, you could translate it like that. It was a radio, government radio organization where a couple of orchestras were housed, and most of recordings were made professionally. It's a big space, very good acoustics. And I attended it a lot when I was a child. My father, who was a violinist with the Moscow Radio Symphony Orchestra, would take me after the school because he had a rehearsal with him, and I had a little lunch, and then he would give me orchestral score of a piece or pieces that the orchestra was rehearsing. The conductor was a famous Gennady Rozhdestvensky, who was a music director of that orchestra at that point. And I heard so much great music, great 20th century classics like Bartok, Hindemith, Stravinsky, Prokofiev, Shostakovich, as well as great symphonies of Mahler, Bruckner, and great poems of Strauss, and of course everything else. That was a great influence on my musical development.
And then you got to go back and record that Tchaikovsky in that studio.
Absolutely,
with
yeah. There were a lot of memories there.
Russian Philharmonic Orchestra. Well, that piece is going to be performed this evening with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra, with Ilya Kahler as the soloist this evening, along with a symphony by William Boyce, number 5. And one by Schubert, number 4, I believe, the Tragic. So it's a great program this evening at the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra. And by the way, if you're a regular subscriber or attendee, those performances are now a half hour earlier. They'll be starting at 7:30. And you can find information on our website at WPR.org. All the details are there. Or also, of course, at WisconsinChamberOrchestra.org. Well, I saw that you came in with your violin.
Just by sheer accident. Yes.
Would you share a little music with us?
Absolutely.
So we can hear the sound of your violin?
Absolutely, sure.
What kinds of solo music?
Well, this violin
is
made by one of the most outstanding modern violin makers, and I'm happy to tell you that we live really in a kind of a second golden era of violin making today, I think. Today, there are very limited number of people who are really outstanding violin makers, and they make violin making art coming back, really. And it's wonderful. Of course, they're inspired to a huge extent by great achievements of the past, 200, 300 year old, and so forth. But today, I guess they're more perfect tools of figuring out the acoustics and way instruments should sound and what do you do with the wood. And there are different demands, of course, for the sound, because we have much bigger holes and
yes.
different recording technology and things like that. Anyways, this violin is made by Joseph Curtin, C-U-R-T-I-N. Please remember that name. He is Canadian by birth, grew up in England, and lives in Ann Arbor, Michigan now. He's been known for quite a few decades, but lately he made huge strides in terms of his own personal development as a maker. He's done some major research in the realm of acoustics also. And this is a violin number 6 of his making that I've been owning. And this is my primary concert instrument. Intermittently, I also played on some fine Italian instruments, Cremonese, on loan, obviously. I don't think any musician today can really own instruments like that because the prices are so exorbitant, except maybe a few notable exceptions. But otherwise, this is my primary concert instrument, and I am proud to own this one. And I would like to play for you a short piece by a great Fritz Kreisler, who was one of the most beloved and popular violinists in history. And one you could call him a father of modern violin playing, really. And it's called Recitativo in Scherzo for violin solo.
Thank you.
Wow. The sound of the violin just fills everything.
Thank you.
It's phenomenal. And that's a wonderful Kreisler piece. You said the recitativo and scherzo.
And scherzo, that's correct.
And he was in that long line of traditional composer violinists who were so gifted.
He was perhaps the last one who was kind of a Renaissance man of the violin art. He was a soloist, and he was an arranger, and he was also a composer, which was only natural for those people, extension of their gifts. Today, it's much more rare. I mean, people are arranging things and do all kinds of stuff, but being composer and performer, I think that tradition kind of got lost.
We don't see it as, we really don't anymore. That's right.
Not in the realm of classical music, anyway.
Right. We are just running out of time, and I wanted to squeeze in one more of your recordings, because it was a real find for me. And you mentioned that you record quite a bit for the Naxos label, which we enjoy at Wisconsin Public Radio. And this is a concert suite by Taneyev. And boy, it's really neat. It was written in 1909, and it's long, which is, I think...
It's long. That's why it's difficult to program in a live concert, because conductors don't know the piece, most of them, and they don't want to waste so much time for a soloist. But this is, I think, really one of the greatest pieces, at least in Russian repertoire, that was written for violin. It's in a sense of a Russian Elgar, I call it, in terms of style.
Oh, when I was listening, it's just fabulous. We'll hear a theme and a couple of variations. This is Ilya Kalar, along with the Russian Philharmonic Orchestra.
Thank you.
We heard a theme and two variations from the Suite de Concert, the concert suite by Sergei Taneyev. And that was our guest performing Ilya Kalar along with the Russian Philharmonic Orchestra. Extraordinary music. Just wonderful.
Yes, absolutely. Taneyev was also criticized for not being Russian enough because his love for Western musical form was obvious in all of his works.
Yeah, gorgeous. Well, you're here in Wisconsin. You're performing tonight the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto, and that will be just a real gem with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra at 7:30. And folks that want to have more information can go to our website at WPR.org or also to the WisconsinChamberOrchestra.org website. And Ilya, there is lots of information for you and master classes and interviews on the web. So it's Ilya Kaler. Thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate
it. Absolutely, Stephanie. Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
It was a real treat. Thank you very much.
It.